This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll take a look inside the American Sign Museum. But first, Three Valley Conservation Trust in Oxford, Ohio is a nonprofit land trust designed to protect and monitor about 160 properties covering more than 20,000 acres and 70 miles of stream corridors. Joining us to talk about land trusts are Three Valley Conservation Trust Executive Director Liz Woodle, Land Protection Specialist Megan Chapman, and Board Secretary and Chair of the Land Protection and Stewardship Committee, Dr. Robert Thurston, who's also a professor of history at Miami University. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Liz, Megan, and Bob, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Oh, it's delightful.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Liz, what is a land trust? How do these operate?
Well, a land trust is a nonprofit organization composed of citizens and sometimes staff. A lot of them are volunteer-only organizations, as ours started out with. And we work with landowners in ourselves. We work in Butler, Preble, and Montgomery County mostly, with other people in the area who are interested in preserving their land. And so these would be willing landowners who want to work to create an agreement and a covenant with us that would keep their land safe forever from development.
Bob, how did the idea, since you're our history expert, what's the history of land trusts? How did the idea for these come about?
I think, Mark, you could even go back to the creation of the first national park, Yellowstone, 1872, mm-hmm. and already a realization at that point that we had to do something to preserve the great scenic beauty of the West at first. And then by the 1890s in Boston, private groups began to get together with the idea of preserving Boston Common and park areas in and around Boston. But it really wasn't until the 1960s, about 1964, that there was much enabling legislation that allowed volunteer nonprofit groups to get together and make these cooperative agreements, voluntary agreements with farmers. And so the whole thing has grown from there. The figures that I found were that by the mid-1990s, there were about 500,000 acres under conservation easements across the U.S., but today more than 50 million acres and growing all the time.
Across the country. And Megan, yeah. How many in Ohio? Do we know how many acres are run by land trusts in Ohio?
I don't actually have that specific statistic. That would be a great one to try to figure out. I know in our area, at least, we are up over that 20,000 acre mark, and there's several land trusts in Ohio that are approximately the same size of us. So if we add them all together, I bet we're probably over the 100,000 acre mark at this point.
And, you know, speaking of other land trusts that are in the area, we got an email from Larry who said, could we reference the newly reformed Cardinal Land Conservancy? That this is a trust that expanded its service territory, so now it's covering Hamilton, Claremont, Warren, Clinton, Adams, Brown, and Highland counties.
Yeah, that's super exciting. We had learned about it at an annual meeting with OKI in the spring, that there was a possible merger in the works. And we're excited because it really is going to cover an sort of unserviced area that in the past they've been these smaller land trusts that have been working independently, and now they're going to form a larger one to work together to cover that southern Ohio region, which is pretty cool.
And the email also says Roland Johnson is the president of this particular land trust, and Laura Curlis is going to be the vice president for this. So is it common for land trusts to merge and keep growing like this?
I've seen that in other places, yeah, with smaller land trusts, when you start to overlap your service area. And these are all member-supported organizations as well. So, you know, that overlapping of the service area and the people, you start to run into the same person supporting both land trusts. So it actually makes economic sense to merge them. And it's a better way to service that area.
Liz, tell us about Three Valley Conservation Trust, how it got its start.
It started about 20 years ago. And there were a number of people in Oxford that were very interested in finding ways to preserve parts of the Four Mile Valley corridor. And Wally Edwards is often recognized as one of our founders, and he was really kind of the person to help bring in other organizations and people to fill that board and help get it started. And it was while he was here, we went from not holding any easements, but getting ready to expand into some of the other areas where easements could start to happen. And so at around, I'm thinking about 2001, 2002, the state government came up with ways through federal funding and funding through the state of Ohio to allow open space to be preserved, to allow agricultural land to be preserved, and combinations of that as well. Also followed by, federal money that became available. And so sometimes we've been able to include a combination of those sources to help purchase the easements of some of the larger properties.
Megan, what are all the different forms that land trusts come in? We hear easements, and I guess it just depends on whether it's for agricultural purposes or preserving other types of land. Is that right?
It's pretty jargon heavy.
Yeah.
Field.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Let's set the jargon here.
Yeah, I like to use the term land conservation organization because they can take many different forms. Ours is very heavy on the conservation easement, so we help private landowners conserve their property so it stays in private ownership. Other land conservation organizations own property, and so they have, wildlife preserves, other things like that. But what Liz was referencing in that around 2002, the state of Ohio created the Clean Ohio Fund, and that's a bond-funded program through taxpayer money, and that's really when our organization sort of hit the ground running because that provided an option to purchase easements. And we mostly use local agricultural easement purchase program, which purchases agricultural easements. But we've also utilized green space conservation funding in the past. And that fund covers brownfield revitalization and recreation trails. So it's really, it was around the turn of the century when the state decided to really focus on preserving the special places in Ohio.
If I could add something here, Mark, when we talk about the easement value or the money that a property owner receives for an easement, that's the difference between the value of the land at present and the value that the land would have if it were developed for housing or some other commercial purpose. So that difference is the cost of the easement, and you can think of the property owner as selling the easement or donating it sometimes for this tax money coming back. So the property owner does give up certain rights, sells certain rights, and that's where this outside funding comes into play.
There's a tax incentive for the person who does this?
There could be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's so land trusts really work on protecting property through restricting development rights. So if you own a piece of property, you own several different rights. They could be water, air, mineral, and development. And our legal document, which is called the conservation easement, that's what restricts development rights. So you are giving up a specific right of your private property.
And Megan, when you do this, for instance, if you're a farmer and you put your land in a land trust, are you still able to work your land?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, that's the main reason that the state created the Agricultural Easement Purchase Program. It's to protect Ohio's leading industry, which is food and agriculture. And so when you place your farm under an agricultural easement, you're actually telling the state that you are going to farm that farm in perpetuity forever. You must always qualify for CAUV, the current agricultural use value, and your easement specifically states that you are to keep farming.
So I'd just like to emphasize that, yes, private landowners get some payments and they get tax breaks in some cases, but this is all to the benefit of the general public. I mean, we really have to preserve soil in Ohio. This is absolutely crucial. And what we do also improves the quality of air and water. These are precious resources. So, yes, some money goes into private hands, but it's absolutely for the general public good.
So, Bob, how does a farmer make that decision, sell or donate? I mean, is there some line that you look at?
Well, maybe Megan can explain that better, but sometimes farmers are well off enough to be able to donate a good part of the easement value, and sometimes they're not. I mean, we have a real range of farmers and their net worth and so on. So it's a very complicated thing to work out who's going to donate what part of it, what state or federal agency will contribute to purchasing the easement.
Ohio is pretty special in the fact that it actually has a program in place to purchase agricultural easements. Our neighbors to the south, Tennessee and Kentucky, most of those easements are donated easements. There is a federal program that we've utilized in the past. It used to be called the Farm and Ranch Land Protection Program, and with the signing of the new Farm Bill last year, it's now the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program. So that would be nationwide. But most agricultural easements are purchased because it's one way to help the small local farmer stay in business. I mean, they sell their development rights, that money comes back, and they reinvest it in their farm, possibly for retirement, sending kids to college. It's really reinvested in the community.
Painting the barn.
Painting the barn. Putting up a new barn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And in the receiving this money, there's still so many things that they can do that they're doing already that it's really not that much of a restriction if you're looking at preserving that lifestyle as well. They're also allowed to sell the property or deed it to their heirs. And so it doesn't sit right with that person and then they pass away and nobody knows what to do. There's a plan. And part of that plan is us being available to monitor that land on a yearly basis to make sure that the covenant that we have together in that easement is fulfilled.
It's really kind of interesting to me to see how often farmers who are the hardest working people ever, but how often they're very sentimental about the land too, and how often they're dedicated to preserving the land as it is because it is farmland, because it has forests, because it has nice streams. And they want to pass all this on to their children or to somebody. And so our interests and their interests work together very well.
And Megan, land trusts, Bob's talking about how, and Liz are talking about how this can be used to preserve land and protect it from development. How effective are these against eminent domain? I mean, is this a hedge against that?
We can't, unfortunately, stop eminent domain. There is a hierarchy when it comes to eminent domain. And in our region, if you have a state-funded easement, the state can trump county level. If you have a federally funded easement, federal can trump state. So if there were to be a private entity that wanted eminent domain, there could be it would be a harder path for them to go through. But if it were the federal government who wanted to do a project, unfortunately, we cannot stop against that. But it is a lot. There are more hoops to jump through. So hopefully if the next time a pipeline company comes through, they'll maybe reroute around some easement protective properties.
So you're putting up a barrier.
A bit of a barrier, okay. Yes.
We will continue our discussion about land trusts, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss land trusts are Three Valley Conservation Trust Executive Director Liz Woodle, Land Protection Specialist Megan Chapman, and Board Secretary and Chair of the Land Protection and Stewardship Committee, Dr. Robert Thurston. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Liz, we have a really good example of a land trust in action, and that's the Paddy's Run Conservation Project that's going on. Tell us about that.
Oh, that's been really so much fun, and it's had a mission that is well-defined, and it's been great to work down in that area. The Ohio EPA, as part of the Fernald settlement, set aside about $13 million to purchase conservation easements and do other projects, primarily looking at preserving the aquifer going down into the Fernald area. And so we've preserved a number of farms there, some of them quite large, other properties very small, looking to protect the Paddy's Run area in general. And now we have places from all the way up to the headwaters of Paddy Run, all the way down to where the old Fernald plant is, now the Fernald Nature Center. And that is just our preserve. And that has been neat to see happen. One of the things that we're doing is that we have some park properties that are starting to happen in that area. There's the Salamander Run Park area up near Lehigh Road, and we have been we took basically what was a farm that was pretty played out. The buildings were starting to fall apart. The heirs weren't interested in farming anymore. Purchased the property directly from them, and then went about the planning and effort to start to restore that land. We've installed vernal pools. The critters started moving in right away. It's amazing. I don't know how they know it's there, but the frogs and the turtles moved in, and we're hoping to
see. It's a lot like what happened at the Vernal Preserve.
That's exactly right. And there was one week we went out there, and there was a whole flock of mallards sitting in the middle of one of those tiny pools. So we're really looking forward to the kinds of things that'll happen there. And it's also been a good way to start working with the township trustees down there in cooperation on this as well.
And by the way, this has considerable economic value for the area, because lots and lots of bird watchers and other people who are interested in wildlife come to see the Fernald Preserve. Mm-hmm. So it's another shot in the arm economically for that area. Not to mention the fire department and so on.
We have an option with Morgan Township if they would like to use part of that land as a substation for their fire department. We've been talking to them about that, and they have a new fire chief, so we're starting all over again. And we're anxious to move a little bit forward on that, because that'll help keep their property insurance down in that area, to have that extra protection for the people that live along that part of the township.
And you talk about developing parks inside these. Mm-hmm. So how much land is open to the public when you're talking about these trusts?
It depends on the land trust. Three Valley Conservation Trust, we only own currently three properties. It's called Owning in Fee Simple. One of them is the Reuter Preserve. It's in downtown Oxford. and then we, through the Paddy's Run Conservation Project, have been able to purchase two more properties, are in the process of hopefully turning them over to Metro Parks of Butler County. So it really does depend. A lot of the land trusts actually north of us in Michigan and Wisconsin own a lot more, and so we would have land open to the public. The rest of our easements, all 168 of them, are privately owned. But there is a great way that you can visit them on a yearly basis. You can become one of our volunteer monitors, and we provide training, and we send you out in a team of two, and you get to actually walk the private property, take pictures, write a report. So it's a great way to get on people's private property that is not normally open to the public.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, we're just in the process with Butler County Metro Parks of opening a park just on the northern edge of Oxford, and that'll be a great place, and it has a lot of historic value too, because there's an old mill race that's wonderfully preserved, so school groups can go out there and so on. And then this Salamander Run area in Fernald, mm-hmm. what's that, about 93 acres? So this will be a great park. We do that. We love that.
And this is for passive recreation, so if people are going out there to walk or hike or birdwatch, number of neat opportunities that they can have out there in visiting those sites. And the mill race is right near a covered bridge, just adjacent to it, and people are going to enjoy that. And that's in our original interest area. So to see that happen on the 4 Mile Creek is fantastic for us.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's talk with Randy in Wyoming. Hi, Randy.
Hi. I appreciate the program. It's something my wife and I had been wondering about. We currently own a farm in Warren County that has been in her family for 100 years. It was traditionally farmed. We stopped regular crop farming about a decade ago, and we kind of have it. We planted all of trees, and we currently have it in a CAUV program under the timber producing category. It's 40 acres, and 20 acres were mature woods anyway. And I guess our thought is we'd like to preserve the land a kind of a wildlife habitat and sanctuary, even when we're gone. And we were wondering that you mentioned that in some cases you can qualify for payments or whatever. Since we don't really farm it for active crops, it's kind of costly for us to just maintain the property with the taxes. And I was wondering if you could maybe outline a way we could look into whether we could qualify for some of the easements, or you mentioned something about a agricultural conservative easement program in the new federal farm bill.
Sure. Hi, Randy.
Hey, Randy. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So you're in Warren County, so you'd actually the new land trust that we just spoke about in the beginning of the program, the Cardinal Land Conservancy, would actually be covering your service area. So when we get more information about them, that would be the people to get in touch with. My question to you would be, if it's the property's been in your wife's family for more than 100 years, have you thought of making it a Ohio Century Farm? That's an application you can do with the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and it gives a nice distinction for the property.
We didn't know Ohio had. I knew Indiana at one time had a program about that, but I didn't know Ohio did. Actually, 2016, it becomes the 100th year, so we're not exactly there, but within a few months it will be.
Excellent.
So, yeah, we would certainly want to maybe do something, the Ohio Century Farm program. Okay. Sounds like a neat idea.
Okay. Randy, thank you for the call. Any other advice for Randy?
I think at this point he'll be, once the Cardinal Land Conservancy gets off the ground and starts accepting phone calls, I think that will be a great place for him to start.
In general, Megan, what is the application process?
It depends on what you apply to. Most of the applications that I do are with the Ohio Department of Agriculture's local agricultural easement purchase program, and it's a yearly application process. It's a competitive program, so Three Valley Conservation Trust has to apply to the state to become a local sponsor. That application starts in the fall. When we're awarded local sponsorship, which we have been for the last 3 years, that's when the program changed. It used to be a statewide program. Then we get a certain amount of funds that we get to utilize in our service area. And then during the winter, people, farmers are always calling. We sort of set that up, and there's a online application. Once we go through the online application, figure out who scores the highest based on some parameters that the state has set up, then we see who will be awarded funding that year.
And is there a process that the farmers or the landowners need to go through to contact you to apply for this?
They can get our contact information from our website. They can give me a call, send me an email. I do some community outreach once we have local sponsorship. So I do a last year we were the local sponsor for Butler County and Preble County, and I do a sort of an announcement and then a night where they can come and learn more about the program and we can walk through it together.
And we have a link to your website at wvxu.org. Let's talk with Jeff in Blanchester. Hi, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
There. Can you hear me?
Sure can. Thank you. How are you today?
I'm great. Like Randy, I live on my wife's family farm. She's fifth generation farmer. And my question is, thank God her grandmother's still living, but we plan to inherit it one day. And my question was, you know, I've thought about the trust, and that way the land's always kept sacred to the family and farming can continue. By not going that route, what kind of ramifications or problems would I see as far as inheriting the land as opposed to getting it entrusted?
Are you talking about placing the land in like a family trust or putting it under conservation easement?
As far as like a family trust or just inheriting it as it is, do you know the ramifications? Because I've been trying to learn about putting the land as a land trust, but
yeah, unfortunately, my expertise is not in family trusts. A lot of our farmers do have their land in family trusts, and that actually helps plan for the future. And I think it might be easier to make that transfer if it is in a family trust. But that, unfortunately, is not my expertise.
Of course, the two processes involved here. One is that you have to have title to the land. However, you get that through inheritance, I suppose, in your case, and then find out. I mean, you can begin to find out any time what it would mean to put your land under a conservation easement. So that's something that you might explore right away. And then when and if it sounds like you will get title to the land, then you could proceed with putting it under a conservation easement to preserve it as agricultural land.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Bob, what do you think the future is of land trusts? Are they facing any challenges, or is this something that you think is going to be around for a long time?
Both. I think
it's always going to be a battle.
It's always going to be a battle, and there are always people who say, oh, conservation easements block development. And that's right. They do block development on the land that goes under easements. But what we're about is not trying to block all development. I mean, of course, there should be development still in some areas, but we're deeply interested in more coordinated, controlled development. We think we've done a really good job in cooperating with all kinds of people and agencies in Butler, Preble, and Montgomery counties. If you compare what's up there to what's in Los Angeles County, California, I mean, I think you can see right away what some planning does for development and what unbridled planning does in Los Angeles. So, but I have heard the comment, and I looked at a fair number of controversial issues and comments. You'll find some realtors who say, oh, it's very difficult to sell land, any property that has an easement on it, and other realtors who will say, look, it's great because it improves the scenic value and the air, and it raises the value of other land that can be developed. Where do you want to live, next to a fertilizer factory or next to a park? You know, so there's some real benefits, I think, again, for everybody and even for other landowners whose land is not restricted by easements.
Liz, what do you see as the outlook for land trusts and possible hurdles they might have to overcome in the future?
Hurdles are always going to be funding, because we have to do this forever. We need to make sure that we have the staff and supported volunteers that can be able to carry our program out. So we do fundraising every year, just like everybody else does. Some of the hurdles could include new projects that come up in an area where suddenly land that was deemed agriculture is now zoned a different way. And so we'll be looking to watch that as well.
Well, Liz, Megan, and Bob, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. It's great.
Three Valley Conservation Trust Executive Director Liz Woodle, Land Protection Specialist Megan Chapman, and Board Secretary and Chair of the Land Protection and Stewardship Committee, Dr. Robert Thurston, who is also a professor of history at Miami University. Coming up, the American Sign Museum in Camp Washington is going to celebrate its 10th year. We'll have a look at that. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.